Welcome to worship on Sunday, the 10th of January, 2021. Speaking words of love, God creates us, calls to us, and claims us. Speaking words of love, we too can create, call, and claim God's beauty and glory in the world. God's strong voice calls us to worship,
calling us to offer praise and prayer.
God's creative voice calls us to worship,
calling us to life and light.
God's loving voice calls us to worship,
calling us to love and be loved.
Listen, for God's voice calls to us now. Word of God, speak, for your servants are listening. Spirit of creation and renewal, hover over us wherever we are this day, as you hovered over creation on that first day. Enter into our hearts and our lives, as you did at the day of our baptism. Descend on us like a dove, as you did on Jesus' day of baptism, that we may hear again your words of love and adoption. Speak from the heavens into our minds, that we may perceive your words of guidance and wisdom. Amen.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our hearts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, true obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let the truth prevail over your plans for us. Truth unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth
A year ago, who would have imagined that negotiations around Brexit would be overshadowed by a worldwide pandemic? But that's what happened. All we heard about the state of play in Brexit was a few headlines. In the incoming weeks and months, we will learn much more about what we have signed up to. As we know, one of the contentious issues in the Brexit negotiations was fish. At an extremely simplistic level, the argument on the British side seemed to be, there are fish because they're in our waters around our coastline. On the European side, the argument was, you need us to buy the fish that are caught. As I listened to the sound bites on this debate, I found myself asking, whose fish are they? As Christians, we believe, like the psalmist, this earth belongs to God. This home of ours that we call planet Earth is God's. That claim has two important implications. The earth is not our possession nor our achievement. And secondly, the world is God's gift. These claims come with an important ethical imperative. As receivers of God's good gift of creation, we have the responsibility to care for that gift wisely and compassionately. Nowadays, there's a recognition that human development has brought about much destruction to planet Earth, and if things continue along these lines, God's well-formed Earth could be taken back to the formless void that we read about in the creation stories. Perhaps we need to read Genesis 1 at the start of every new year and be reminded afresh that the earth is not our possession, our achievement, or our property. The world is God's creation, God's gift. It's a humbling thought that this world was created by God. We are God's creatures rather than the world's creators. The earth still belongs to God. At the same time, this world has been entrusted to us for safekeeping. In these times, when we are very much aware of our mortality and vulnerability, let us be assured that we are made to live in the light of all that God has created. Listen to the words of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
Let us pray. When our hearts are hard as stone, soften us with your grace. When our lives are troubled with sin and pain, heal us with your mercy. When our ears are ringing with self-doubt and cynicism, strengthen us with words of faith and love. When our minds are muddled with confusion and fear, enlighten us with the radiance of your wisdom. Speak to our spirits from the truth of your being, the reality of your love, and the promise of your forgiveness, that we may hear your voice clearly and follow where you call us to go. Amen. Hear the truth of God's voice breaking through the clouds of our lives. You are my child, the one I dearly love. I delight in your creation. You are my child, the one I dearly love. I delight in your creation.
Christ is our light, the bright and more.
The second reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11.
So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
The Gospel writer Mark introduces us to Jesus at the beginning of his Gospel through John the Baptizer. Jesus' ministry opens with him standing knee-deep in water. God meets us in one of the most precious gifts he has given us to sustain us, water. Water is more than a drink to quench our thirst. Water cleanses. John the Baptist focuses our attention on the future, a relevant theme for any preacher at the beginning of a new year. But how do we focus on the future? Do we ignore the past and the present? Do we just forget about the pain and regret and guilt of yesterday and today? How do we turn our attention to hope and possibility, while also allowing ourselves to address the ups and downs of our journey through life thus far? John the Baptist's answer is cleansing, with water and with the Spirit. John invites us to prepare ourselves, to make ourselves ready for a new life. The first task is to be made clean, that we may be filled with the Spirit of God. "I baptize you with water," John proclaims, "but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The voice of God, which Jesus hears coming from the heavens, has echoes of the voice of the Lord in Psalm 29. "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic." Mark also refers to the Spirit or wind of God in Genesis chapter 1. "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Raymond Foss is a poet in the United States. He publishes poetry on a site called Poetry Where You Live. There are about 13,000 poems on his site. One of his poems is based on the story of Jesus' baptism and the voice of God. The title of the poem is "Hearing the Voice of God." hearing the voice of God raining down from heaven, resounding over the earth, sometimes in whispers, speaking directly to us. Hearing the voice of God rent from the heavens, cutting across the sky, announcing his holiness. Christ rising from the waters, the voice of God booming, anointing him with his love, grace pouring down, the landing of the dove. Hearing the voice of God, the power in that moment, setting the whole world into order, in commissioning his Son, leaving the water to go into this troubled world to spread his message of healing, the love of our God sufficient to bring us all to him. Let us pray, and let us give thanks for those events and those people that point us beyond the surface of things to the deeper things of life. Most loving God, thank you for the many things that enlighten us beyond our common way of seeing things, for the beauty of a scene, a picture, a photograph, for the words and phrases of others that take us beyond the trivial to the profound, for an observation of a friend that alerts us to a wider range of possibilities, for a piece of music that speaks to the emotions that lie deep within our being, for the Bible passage we thought we understood, yet suddenly we hear it as if for the first time, for a word, a thought that invites new questions rather than offering old answers. Far beyond all else, we give thanks for the Holy One who came to the waters of the Jordan for baptism, for the heavens opening, the Spirit's coming, and the word clearly sounding. We thank you, loving God, that we have come to that same watering place and follow that same beloved Son from the Jordan to Galilee, from Galilee to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem to Golgotha, and from Golgotha to an empty tomb. For your light and joy in Christ Jesus, with us to the end of the world, we give you thanks and praise from now unto eternity. Most Holy God, teach us to pray for others with our feelings as well as our minds, with our actions as well as our words.
Teach us to pray for those who believe the heavens are forever empty and devoid of any divine purpose or compassion.
Teach us to pray for any who fear that their wrongdoing has closed the heavens forever against them.
Teach us to pray for the people who think they're too unimportant for God to notice, or their worries too trivial to mention.
Teach us to pray for some whose loss of work, or broken marriage, or poverty and homelessness makes them feel forsaken.
Teach us to pray for the victims of emotional or mental illness, especially those who fear that God has completely left them.
Teach us to pray for those who find that their religion seems unable to offer help in their hour of need.
Teach us to pray for those who struggle to believe but are searching for faith.
Teach us to pray for each other in our church, not thinking that some have a faith too strong to need our prayers, or others too shallow to deserve them.
Holy God, keep us close to your beloved Son, in whom you are well pleased, that through him and with him we may celebrate the joys of an open heaven and a redeemed earth.
Through Christ Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Shall we gather at the river, where bright angels' feet have trod, with his crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. The shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease, soon our happy heart. will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.